Good afternoon, everybody. You're all very welcome to our service. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
I'd just like to give a very warm welcome to Norman and Lorna, Norman Wilkerson. You've been here before and you're very welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you later on. I just have a whole heap of announcements here, so if you just listen a few wee while here. Just the midweek and Bible study via Zoom is on Wednesday night, and the study booklets can be found on the church website. All can be found on the church website to do with that, and you're all very welcome to log into that. The Youth Fellowship are meeting tonight in the loft, where Gary Tutty from the Faith Mission will be the speaker. And then the Youth Club hopes to start on Friday the 5th of November at 7 o'clock to 8:30. Now that's for children from P1 to P7. And this is for all children. Any children you know, even that don't belong to our church here, is welcome at that from P1 to P7. And then there's just to mention the Student Prayer Partnership. If you're a student and you would like people to pray for you, you'd like to be prayed for in this initiative here, just put your name on the sheet in the hall. And it's great to know that there's people behind you and people praying for you when you're away in different areas, or just studying or whatever, away on your own. And if you want to pray for people and you'd like to pray specifically for someone, just let Edwin know and he'll connect you with some of the students. Just as well about filling the church, it's maybe too late for today, but if we would try and fill the church first and then fill the hall as you go on up, just try and make sure there's room in the church before you go up to the hall, if we could try and do that. And then some COVID-19 regulations again. Please continue to protect yourself and others by abiding by the protocols of the Kirk Session of Clogher Presbyterian Church. We have put in place to limit the spread of COVID-19. These include wear your mask when entering and leaving the building. Also, when you stand to sing hymns, masks can be removed when you're seated. And please remain at least 1 metre between yourself and anyone who was inside, or anyone who's outside unless you have somebody in your bubble. Sanitise your hands when entering and leaving the building. And please do not leave your seat at the end of the service until invited to do so by the door steward. And I think that's most of the announcements, anyway, and I'd just like to welcome Norm. You're very welcome to our service. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Afternoon, I think it is. You're all mixed. It depends what time you get up. You know, there was a man wanted to come and see us the other day there, and he said, we're at 11 o'clock. No, I think he said, would 10 be okay? And I says, would not. I says, I don't get up till 11. So, I says, I can come any time. But when I was a young fella, I could lay in bed all day. I tell you, I can be up no problem at 6 o'clock these mornings. That's the way your timepiece operates. It's really good to be with you. And thanks for coming. And I think I'll have to shout loud for there's some folks. What dare we call them, the folks on the hill? Would that be all right? I don't know what political party are up there. But anyhow, thank you all for coming. And we look to God. We look to God. Friends, we need God. Wonder, do you really believe that? We don't want to be soft pedaling, just running along and hoping everything gets back. Folks, we don't want to be going back. We want to be going forward. Yes? You're not too sure about that one? We'll just take a wee moment to fix our thoughts on the one that we come to worship. And just read you a wee verse that says, trust in the Lord. That's a good thing to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him, for God is our refuge. Pour out your heart unto him. We'll sing a song. This is a great song. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. And that's real, folks. When we come together, we stand amazed in his presence. So let's sing this song with thanksgiving and rejoicing in our hearts. There it is on the screen. So you can put on your masks and sing to your heart's content. Great song. Trust we know the reality of it. Trust we know where we're going. Then with the ransomed in glory. That's where we're going. If we've been born from above, if we've been heaven born, then we're heaven bound. And we're on our way off the broad road onto the narrow road that leads to heaven. We'll just have a wee prayer together. Lord, we thank you today that we can come as a wee company of your people to sing your praises. Lord, you remind us to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, not to be thinking our own ways or our own thoughts, but that we might be anchored in your word. And Lord, as we've been singing this song, it's reminded us, Lord, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Lord, may that grasp our hearts afresh and anew. And so we come to worship you. We come to thank you, Lord, that you came to redeem us and that you loved us. Not that we loved God, but that you loved us. It was while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. And Lord, may we know in our own hearts, Lord, that we're not as special as we think we are, but that Jesus is our all in all. And so we thank you, Lord, that we live in a land where we've been able to hear your word. We thank you for the boys and girls who have already heard your word in Sunday schools, and not only here, but throughout our land. And we believe, Lord, that this is our hope. Our hope is in the gospel, that these little children go out into a godless world without direction, without God, and without hope. And so we thank you for our Sunday school teachers. We thank you for our youth leaders. Thank you for the various activities, this meeting with Gary Tutte, Lord, that it might be something special in young hearts and lives today. And Lord, as we've been thinking even of our students, Lord, we thank you for the Student Union, the Scripture Union, and we pray that those who lead that, Lord, that they might be encouraged and blessed and indeed be an encouragement to those who are trusting in you. And so we pray, Lord, for our land and all its need. Lord, we've lost our way. We have sown. And Lord, you tell us whatever we sow, we reap. We pray, Lord, for forgiveness. We pray for mercy. We pray for grace. Pray, Lord, that you would come to us again in our land and our nation. Lord, who people who have known the truth, and yet, Lord, your word says, professing to be wise, they became fools. Lord, we've erred exceedingly. We've played the fool. And we pray, Lord, that you would come to us and forgive us. We pray for an outpouring of your spirit, for an awakening, for a reviving in our land. Lord, we thank you for the times past that you've been good to us, times, Lord, when many, many souls were suddenly conscious and aware of their need of Jesus. Lord, that you would revive us as your people and save the lost, we pray. And so we ask, Lord, that you'll bless all our leaders, our politicians. Lord, we know that many of them are blind leaders of the blind, and we feel so often helpless. And so we pray today that your will would be done in our land. We thank you for the few that we have who profess your name. We pray that you'll encourage them, help them to stand for the truth and for righteousness. We pray for our doctors and nurses and healthcare workers, people, Lord, who give themselves to the needs all around. We pray that you'd keep them safe. And we pray, Lord, that we might, even in the midst of all this, might see a godly fear, that people would come to realize that the dangers that surround us and the need to make sure that we belong to you. And so we pray, Lord, for all today in the running of our land. We thank you for our school teachers, so many people, Lord, who are involved in looking after us. And Lord, we pray that your blessing and your help. We thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for our minister. And we pray your blessing and encouragement to him and his wife. And Lord, that these might be days when we'll see you bring the increase, just like the harvest when we sow. Lord, we thank you that you tell us that wonderful promise, one man plants, another man waters. God brings the increase. Lord, we're conscious that so often we're touching so few in our land and round about us, and we pray for those who once come. We pray for a stirring and an awakening and a getting back under the word of God, and a moving forward in your purpose and in your plan. And so we rejoice, Lord, in all that you mean to us today. How glad we are that we belong to you. How glad we are that you opened our eyes, unstopped our ears, that you give us the gift of repentance and faith to trust in you. And we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll read the word of God to you just now. And I want to read to you some verses from the book of 2 Timothy, the second epistle of Timothy, 2 Timothy, I should say, not of Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter 1. And we'll read the first 12 verses. This is God's word. Great privilege to have the word of God. We're seeking to get God's word out to people in Africa and Asia, the good news of the gospel. Here we have it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. That's where the promise is, folks. That's where life is. It's in Christ Jesus. And then he says this to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Lord Jesus, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. What day is that? What day is that? Until that day. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the day you were singing about, when with the ransomed in glory, we when we step out of this world. That's the difference, folks. When you got the Savior, you know where you're going. When you step out of this world, His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. Lorna's going to come and say something to us all just now.
Well, good afternoon, especially to the boys and girls, which of course I know you're all feeling young at heart here in Carntall this afternoon. And isn't it wonderful to have the privilege of coming to listen to the stories of Jesus? Perhaps there's a boy or a girl listening and you may have just started school and you're learning to read and you're going to come up against some difficult words. Well, I've got a book here with me and it tells an amazing story and yet it doesn't have any words. And the missionaries that we know who are working in Southeast Asia, they've been using this book to tell people in the jungle, and I mean literally the jungle, the message of Jesus, and they're hearing it for the first time. And a few years back, we had the privilege of going to see them and to tell some of those children about the Lord Jesus. And this little book, I'm sure some of you are familiar with it, known as the Wordless Book, because it doesn't have any words. And yet it tells us the amazing story of God and His love. The gold page reminds us of what Jesus said in John 14. He said to His disciples, "Don't be afraid. Trust in God, because in my Father's house are many mansions. And God is preparing a place in heaven for each one who loves Him. And in heaven, there's no sickness. That must be wonderful. No more COVID. And no sadness. And nobody will be sad." And Jesus was telling His disciples, "Don't worry. I'm going back to my Father in heaven to prepare a place for you." Now, I don't know if some of you perhaps like to turn to the back page when you're reading a book. Perhaps you're impatient and you want to see if there's a happy ending. But when we turn to the back page of this book, it's a dark color. In fact, it's not a happy story, because this page tells us from God's word that all have sinned. We've all done things that are wrong because we have sin in our hearts. And God says that no sin will ever enter heaven. So it sounds like very bad news. All of us have sinned. How can we be sure that one day we will be with the Lord Jesus in heaven? That was a question that Thomas, one of the disciples, asked Jesus. He said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way?" And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, "I am the way." And He could say that because that's what He tells us today, that Jesus went to the cross and He took the punishment for your sin and for my sin. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever — that means me, means you — that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life in heaven. And I'm so glad that someone explained that verse to me when I was at Sunday school in Ochantine. And someone said to me that whosoever means me. And I was able to put my trust in Jesus. And it's wonderful to be able to tell boys and girls and bigger people too the message of Jesus. But you know, Jesus, He didn't stay on the cross. We're glad about that, because the next page, the nice white page, speaks to us about the resurrection. Jesus is alive. He's alive. He went back to his Father in heaven, but in a very special way, he wants to live in each of our hearts. And that's what it means when Jesus said, "Come to me." Jesus wants you to come and ask him to forgive you of your sin and thank him for dying on the cross for you and ask him to make you his child. And there's no one too young today to do that. There's no one too old if you've never done it as yet. But remember, don't be too late. Jesus said, "Him that cometh to me, I will not cast out." So each one of us can be sure today that one day we will live with Jesus in heaven. Perhaps you're wondering what the green page speaks about, the outside page, the cover page, which is also important. And all around us we can see the green grass and things that have been growing. Perhaps soon, if not, you'll be celebrating harvest. And we give thanks to God for all the good things that he gives us to help us grow and be strong. And when we follow Jesus, he wants us to grow, to know more about him. And you can do that by coming to Sunday school, by coming to church, by learning to read God's word, and learning to talk to Jesus. And Jesus says that even a little child can pray, and Jesus will hear you. So remember the privilege that you have of going to school, because the people in the jungle, they didn't have that privilege. And you know, they can't read God's word as we can, but today they're listening to God's word. And the missionaries have been able to give some of them a little Bible called a solar Bible. It's about the size of a mobile phone, powered by the sun. And they sit in their humble homes and they're listening to God's word in their own language. We heard some news from the missionaries just last week. They were able to get back to Indonesia to pass all the COVID tests and quarantine and all the things they had to get through to go back to their work there. When they went back, they found the first man who became a believer just about 5 years ago. And he now has a new neighbor. And he has already told her about Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? These people in the jungle, they could teach us how to do God's work, to tell someone else that they too can receive Jesus for themselves. So God bless you as you come and you listen about Jesus. I trust that you'll give your life to him when you are young. God bless you.
Thank you, Lorna. You know, I was just thinking there, if you miss Jesus, listen, folks, if you miss Jesus, you'll miss heaven. This isn't just some wee object lesson for the boys and girls. This is the gospel. This is the gospel that is able to save our souls and make us ready for heaven. We're going to sing a song then, this Safe in the Shadow of the Lord, and there it is coming up on the screen. So we'll sing this song together.
Thank you.
I just have a wee prayer together just before we come to God's word. Lord, we thank you for this lovely song we've just been singing, reminding us, Lord, that you are our fortress, that you are our strength, that you are our shadow. And Lord, that your word reminds us, they who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And Lord, you are our strength and song. And we tell you, Lord, today that we do trust you, that we are trusting you. And who else can we turn to? And so we worship you. We pray now as we turn to your word, that Lord, that we'll see it as the living word, is able to save our souls, to direct us in paths of righteousness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd just like to thank your minister for inviting me back again. We're very happy to be here. Certainly enjoyed our last visit, and we're glad to be here again with you today. And you know, folks, we have no other motive, no other reason than just to bring the Word of God. And you know, we live in difficult days, don't we? These old masks and sanitizing and distancing. And do you know, it's been going on for 18 months. Whoever would have believed such a thing? Made me think just of what John Newton said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. And we have a lot to thank God for. There's been a lot of casualties, a lot of sadness, and a lot of hurt. But you know, as God's people, we have got grace to help in time of need. And God's word would teach us not to lose confidence in our God. In a day and age when it's easy to lose confidence. And when Paul was writing this letter, we would remind ourselves that he was experiencing the trials and the tests and the problems. And yet he says, the Lord stood with me. Would you be conscious of God with you in your life day by day? You see, Paul was in a prison. He was under a sentence of death, but yet he was keeping looking to the Lord and trusting the Lord. And he wants to write to this man, Timothy. Some people would suggest that maybe Timothy finally came to faith under Paul's preaching. We don't know, but he says to Paul, he says, persevere. He's saying to Timothy, persevere in your Christian walk. And he gives three illustrations in chapter 2. He says, be like a good soldier. Compete as a disciplined athlete. And be as a hard working farmer. These are all pictures of what it means to be a Christian and to follow the Lord. But it would seem that somewhere along the line that Timothy maybe got a bit discouraged. Timothy was in Ephesus, which was a very hostile place to be. And Paul had been there for some a period of time, and it may have been that Timothy maybe had got discouraged. And you know, sometimes as God's people, I heard someone say just the other day, you know, people are not interested. Oh, folks, people are interested. There are lots of people who are not. But two of our workers in schools were telling us that they felt that there was an increased interest in the gospel. Isn't that good? That people are asking genuine questions. And so we thank God that people are interested. And when we are out and about, we get opportunities to talk to people. The devil would try to discourage us. And so Paul says something very important here in verse 6. He says, stir up the gift that was within you or as I think it says in the New International Version, fan the flame. Fan the flame. There are two ways of looking at this. The stirring the gift or the fanning the flame. The first one gives us the picture of something that settles. You know, there's many things that can settle that needs to be stirred. You can get things in a container, like a container of paint or stain. I had got this stain and I was painting a fence and it said to shake the container well. In other words, it needs to be mixed, it needs to be stirred up. And in Psalm 94, there we read that unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. It is possible to settle. It is possible to become complacent. And in a day and age of perhaps many disappointments and things that are going on, we just settle. We used to sing a song, "Don't settle for less than God's best. Believe for more." A couple that went out to Japan, a very difficult country, for a number of years. And I can remember them relate to us. We knew them well. They used to come to our house and they talked to us about God's calling and about going into Christian ministry. And I remember them saying that whenever they got saved, when they were converted, that they wanted to join into a good church, and they looked around a few different churches and they found this evangelical church. And they went and they talked to some of the leaders, and you know, they were enthusiastic. They were full of zeal. They were excited about the Christian faith that they had found. You know, some of the leaders said to them, "We used to be like that, but you'll soon settle down." You know, I couldn't believe that any Christian leader would say that to what we would call a young convert. You'll soon settle down. God's word does never tell us to settle down. William Carey, the father of modern missions, if you haven't read a good missionary book, read the story of William Carey. What an amazing man. As a young fellow, I think he was about 17 or 18, he got converted. And again, a man of enthusiasm and zeal and favor for God. And he went to the church leaders and he told the church leaders that he wanted to go out and to be a missionary. And he stood up amongst the church leaders and he said to these church leaders, he says, what are we going to do about the lost? There's something for us, isn't it? What are we doing about the lost? Carey, he saw people who had not got God, that they were lost. You know, there's a thinking today that we just forget about people in the foreign field. We have two workers that have been involved in Myanmar, and friends, if you saw the things that are happening to them, now and again it maybe comes up a wee bit in the media, but you'll not see this on BBC. They ran for their lives to live in the jungle and they burned them out. Many of them have been put to death, and the no COVID injections, no cover for them. William Carey says, what are we going to do about the lost? Do you know what they said to him? Young man, sit down. Imagine, young man, sit down and be quiet. If God wants to save the lost, he'll do it without you. And William Carey went home very despondent, and he continued to pray, and he continued to seek God, and God stirred his heart so much that he went back to the leaders again. And he said to the leaders, what are we going to do? Do you know those men? Those men took him up, supported him, sent him out to India as a missionary. So there's these different ways, as we might say, of looking at our Christian life. As Paul said to Timothy in his first letter, he says, neglect not the gift. You see, folks, you and I can neglect our Christian life. We can go off the boil. We can go cold. We can become indifferent. We can lose the vision. A young fellow that I know well, he used to witness to me before I became a Christian. And, you know, I was talking to him one day, a few years ago now, but I was talking to him, asked him how he's getting on. Do you know what he said to me? He says, many a time I was going better. Wonder, maybe here today, would you have to say, many a time I was going better. And I asked him what the problem was. He says, in his own words, he says, I've got into the rat race. I tell you, God's people never want to be in the rat race. He's got head over heels into things, work and other commitments. But you know, I've seen him two or three times since, and he's going for God. It hit a rocky patch, but he was now going for God. This thought of stirring, it means that Christ must be evident in our lives. The ingredients of the Christian life must be mixed into our lives so that Christ is evident, that Christ may be seen, as it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, the way to stir is to be a people who are reading God's word, who are praying, who are in fellowship and in witnessing. You'll never make it on your own. When I was a young Christian, I remember I went through a difficult time and I stopped going to the prayer meeting. I stopped going to the open air meeting where I was converted in Cookstown Street. I stopped doing a whole lot of these things, but the fellow who counseled me for salvation, he came out and he said to me, he says, you'll never make it on your own. He came out to our home and he said, there's the fire and all the coals are together and they're all burning brightly together. You've probably heard this illustration. He says, one of them falls out and what happens? It soon goes cold. Oh, how many of God's people have gone cold. We need to be in fellowship. That was why Jesus got a group of 12 disciples around him, that they could encourage each other. See, if you and I are not doing that, then we're just people who go to church. We're just people who go to church. It said about Lot. Lot was a man who settled in Sodom. He settled for less, and he was a loser. Proverbs 24 tells us, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, to rest so shall your poverty come. I feel that a lot of God's people have been robbed. The devil has robbed them. And we need to stir up this gift of God within us. The second thing here is the fanning of the flame. If we don't fan the flame, the fire will soon smoke and the fire will soon go out. It was William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, who says the tendency to fire is to go out. Isn't that interesting? You have a fire and it'll go out if it's not tended. When we were children, there were six of us, and mum and dad, and there was eight of us in a wee council house, however survived, I don't know. And we used to gather around the fire, and it was my mum's job to keep the old fire going. And I remember hearing her more than one occasion saying to my dad, you sat there and let the fire go out. Folks, we don't want to let the fire go out. But there's three simple little things, you know, that Paul would say to us here. You know, Paul didn't scold Timothy. He encouraged him. And the first thing that I want to leave with you here is what he says in verse 6. He says, I remind you to stir up the gift that is within you. What he's saying to Paul is, remember what you've got. I think sometimes God's people, they almost forget the treasure the treasure of the gospel, the amazing grace that has come to our hearts and to our lives. And so in verse 5 he says, I call to remember the genuine faith that is in you. This is a genuine faith. This is saving faith. I hear people talking about their faith. I want to know, is it saving faith, as we read in Hebrews 10 and 39? Believing to the saving of our souls. Folks, are we saved? Do we know that we're saved? Do we know on whom we have believed? Are we sure? We can sing, I stand amazed, but we need to be more than amazed. We need to have this living and real in our lives. And how did this genuine faith, in a sense, come about? Well, we know it's of God, but you know, Paul says, the genuine faith that was in your grandmother and in your mother. What a privilege that Timothy had to hear the word of God. And some of us have had that great, great privilege sitting in Sunday school, sitting under the ministry of the word of God. And in chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul says, as from a child you have known the Holy Scripture that is able to make you wise unto salvation. Are we using our gifting towards our young people, towards our children? Are we praying for our Sunday school teachers? Are we praying for Christian families? And listen, if you've got children, make sure that you're having your children under the word of God while they're young. I remember our senior minister when we were in Hill Street, he used to say, get your children under the word while they're young. He says, if they rebel, he says, at least the word of God has been sown in their hearts. And Lorna here, she taught Sunday school for years, as does my son now. And sometimes I'd come home and say, you know, there was only a couple or three when there should have been a dozen. And I'd phone up the parents and they'd say, oh, well, you know, we were busy. And, oh, folks, look after your children. This is a great privilege. And Paul says to Timothy, remember what you have. And sometimes we need to remember that in our hearts and lives, don't we? We don't want to have a superficial faith, a dead profession, that we're not a possessor of the living God, nor do we want what we would call demonic faith, which we read about in James 2:19, where James says, you believe in God, you do well. You see, we need to have this genuine faith, and this is what Paul is saying to Timothy. We have the gift of God, and it's within us. Do you know this gift of God within you today? This not only salvation, but a gifting, and he gives gifts to everyone. So he says, remember what we have. Secondly, he says, rekindle the fire. Rekindle the fire. Hebrews 2:1 says, we need to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest that we drift away. I feel that there's been a lot of people over this 18 months that have just drifted. They've just drifted. And folks, if you're listening to this or listening to a recording, come back. Come back. You don't want to be a drifter. You want to be as part of the fellowship. And I tell you, if you've been away, they'll be glad to see you back again. It's important, this thought of fellowship, of togetherness. As I used the illustration when we were in Canada and we had a campfire at my son's wedding. And this big fire, when the man who built it, he was a man who was very much into this survival thing and so on out in the wild, and he was a man who knew how to start a fire and how to put a fire out and so on. But I remember him saying to me, he says, you know, in the morning this fire will be gone. It'll be gone. And the next morning I went out and took a stick, and it was all just flat. It was no more than that depth. It was just totally gone. And I started to rake through the ashes, and you know, I thought I saw this wee red bit of stick, this wee ember, and I brought it out, and I raked a wee bit more, and I got another one, and I got another one, until all of a sudden, with a breeze, a lovely sunny morning, it was about 6:30 in the morning, and with just that wee breeze, do you know what happened? Fire. And I remember standing looking at that and thinking to myself, do you know, that's what we need, isn't it? We need this togetherness. We need this rekindling the fire within our souls. And this is what Paul is saying to this amazing man, Timothy. He says, fan the flame, fan the flame. We got to work at this. The Christian life just does not happen. It has got to be worked at. And that's what God's word says. Work out your salvation, for it is God who works in you. So as God seeks to work in you, then you work it out. It's got to be worked at, and it's hard work. And you know what Jesus said? He says, a bruised reed he will not break, nor a smoking flax he will not quench. Remember, many, many years ago, as a young believer, there was in a meeting, and the young people's meeting, and they're having a bit of a debate about things, and there was one fellow says, is it wrong for a Christian to smoke? And one very wise man said, yes, of course it is. He says, God doesn't want us to smoke. He wants us to burn. He wants us to be bright for him, living for him. And the tragedy is about the wise and the foolish virgins. Five who were wise, they were the people trusting the Lord. The five who were foolish, but you know what? They just looked like each other. They were acting like each other. They were all slumbering and sleeping together. The old devil loves to deceive us, to discourage us, to distract us, and if he could, he would devour us. Remember what we have. Folks, remember today this amazing salvation if you're saved. Rekindle the fire within you, and finally, renew our commitment. It was William Cowper who said, oh, for a closer walk with God. A calm and heavenly flame, a light that shines upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. It was obviously that William Cowper, something happened in his life where he pens these words, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? And then he prays, return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sin that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. See, William Cowper, keen man of God, wrote those words many, many years ago, way back before you and I were ever heard tell of, way back in the 1700s. You know, you and I, we face the same problems and difficulties and battles along the way. Listen, church just doesn't happen. The number of times I've heard it say over the years, we have got a minister to do this. Folks, we got to be in this together. We've got to support the minister. We've got to be sharing our faith, as Lorna said, like the man out on Java. And there he is sharing his faith of the gospel. We are to renew our commitment, our zeal, our enthusiasm for God, our vision for God. You know, it's easy to lose out. And it might be just today that as you reflect on your life, as I've got to do, and you look back and you think, where did I lose this keenness, brightness, and enthusiasm for God? Another old song that says, will make our weak hearts strong and brave. Send the fire to live a dying world to save. Send the fire. Oh, see us on the altar lay, our lives are all this very day. To crown the offering, now we pray, send the fire. You know, as we hear the word of God, we've got to have faith and trust God and act upon it, that we might be renewed and revived and fired up, stirred up to live and to follow the Lord. And so Paul here, he's just encouraging this man. He's saying, remember the grace of God in your life. Rekindle that fire and renew your commitment to the Lord. And it's not a one-off. It's daily. It's daily that we do it. We're going to sing our song in closing then. Tell me the old, old story. We'll just do a prayer together. Lord, we thank you again for your word that challenges all of our hearts. And we pray that we might go out as a group of people whose hearts that God has touched. And may your grace and your mercy and your peace be evident in these lives of ours. Amen.